Hello, everyone. Welcome to this support technical exchange session. The topic for today is common scenarios that can affect your availability of your WebSphere Commerce site. Today's presenters are Jeff Johnson and Andreas Voldman. Jeff Johnson is a software engineer at the IBM RTP lab. He is part of the WebSphere Commerce support team. Andreas Voldman is a senior software engineer at IBM Toronto Lab. He is part of the WebSphere Commerce support team with focus on performance, stability, and quality of WebSphere Commerce implementations. At this time, I would like to turn the session over to Jeff.
Thanks, Valerie. First, let's go ahead and move to page number 2. And all right, let's take a look at the agenda really quickly. First, we'll discuss the purpose of the WebSphere support technical exchange. Then we'll take a look at a healthy site, followed by some case studies that show typical outages. At the end, we'll have some links to the typical must gathers that support requests when having an issue, and other opportunities to learn more about debugging availability issues. And of course, we'll take a quick look and update on the holiday readiness. Let's move to page 3. Okay, first we'll cover the introduction, and let's go ahead and move to page 4. All right, so when a site becomes unavailable, this can directly cause lost revenue. I want to note that this is not a debugging presentation. This session is really to just showcase some of the most common scenarios that we in support see customers run into. The aim here is to use this presentation proactively to prevent outages, as some of these scenarios might apply to you. Let's move on to page number 5, please. All right, let's first take a look at a healthy running site by moving to page 6, please. Okay, although most sites are complex, for this presentation, we will represent the web server layer, the commerce application layer, including the web container threads, along with the database layer and the number of established and active connections. A good representation of a healthy site shows a system that can process requests faster than they are received. Let's move to page 7. All right, in this picture, we can see the three layers I just mentioned. We have the web layer, the application slash commerce server, and the database. Now, you can see that the application server is using thread pooling along with the database server using connection pooling. So if you take a look at the application servers, we have several threads in the pool available, but there's only a small percentage that are actively doing work while the rest are idle. Since the application servers use connection pooling, we notice that there are a number of connections that are maintained, but only a handful that are actually executing while the others' connections remain idle. Let's move to page 8, please. Okay, what this picture is showing is that in a healthy site, as new requests come in, the existing ones are completed, therefore we maintain the balance of the site. In a healthy site, you will see around the same number of web container threads as you do the database connections. Later in the presentation, we'll take a look and see how, when you have an issue with one of these layers, how it cascades to the other layers in the environment. Okay, let's move to page 9. All right, my site became unavailable. What changed? Well, if you've ever worked with support, one of the first questions that we ask is, hey, what's changed in your environment? When there's an outage, the post-crash investigation will always look at what has changed that caused a previously stable site to go down. Of course, on a live site, changes happen all the time. However, the key is to understand which changes could have impact on the user experience and could possibly lead to system availability issues. There are obvious changes like code deployment, but there are also more subtle changes that may not seem as a problem immediately, but can build toward a crash over time. Let's move to page 10. So let's take a look at some of the examples of things that can change in your environment. First, we have user traffic. Are you seeing more traffic since the problem started occurring? Could it be related to a specific promotion, or is it just seasonal? Data changes. Has there been staging or data load recently? For example, was there a large data load that occurred prior to the issue? And, of course, the most obvious is the code changes. And then we have external interfaces. This is basically where commerce hasn't changed, but an external service that is being used in commerce has. This is actually one of the most common scenarios we see in support that cause availability issues. And last but not least, we have operational changes. This includes things like clearing cache or using monitoring scripts. Let's move to page 11, please. Okay, when there's an outage, there will be symptoms that support would look for that are different than what a shopper would see. The shopper would typically see the pages that are not loading or have a slow response. But if we take a look at the different layers, we normally see one of the following types of issues. We'll see hot CPUs is where the CPU spikes when it's doing a lot of work. And hang, which is the application is not responsive or is not handling requests in a timely manner. Then, of course, there's the crash, which is where the system actually goes down. The symptoms on the environment will vary depending on the type of problem and which layer is affected. But in this type of environment, if one layer is affected, then there's a cascading effect to the rest of the layers in the environment. Let's move on to page 12. Okay, let's take a look at some of an example of using cascading, of a cascading effect. If the application server is slow, you tend to see more active and longer running transactions in the database. This is because the application is not able to process transactions as quickly, thus keeping them for a longer period of time. On the other hand, if you have a slow database, you will see many active requests in the application server, most of which will be waiting for a database response. In the case studies that we are covering today, we'll provide an introduction on how the system responds to each individual problem. Okay, let's take a good move on to page 13, please. Okay, we'll take a look at a couple of different case studies and see how they affect the environment. Let's move to page 14. All right, these case studies are based on real-world examples that our support engineers see on a daily basis. It can show the kind of situations that you could find yourself in if you're not prepared. So case one, we'll take a look at an example of dependency on an external interface, and then we'll take a look at an example of a slow database. And case three is an issue clearing cache during a heavy load or peak time. Case four, displaying all categories on a single page. And then we'll follow up with the how a monitoring script can affect your site. Okay, let's move on to page 15. Okay, the first case we have here is dealing with dependencies on external interfaces. A new feature was recently launched on the store, which allows shoppers to find all nearby store locations. There was no problem in Q&A, and it was moved on to production. In this case, everyone considered that this change was safe since the store locator in the map service was not even on the commerce environment. There was an external site that hosted the service to create the map data. Okay, so after it was deployed and running in production for about a week, the entire site crashed. Okay, let's move to page 16. Okay, so what happened? The map service was external, but it was rendered by a JSP running on the commerce server. This JSP retrieved the map data by making a synchronous call to the map service. Then we'll wait for a response before rendering the contents. All was well until one day when the external server started running slowly or eventually went down. Okay, let's move to page 17. Okay, here we'll take a look at how each layer responds to a slow external service. First, in the bottom right-hand corner, you can see that we have the external interface to the map service. And then if you look at the database layer, in this situation, it is very quiet and is basically idle waiting for work. On the other hand, because the external interfaces have been down for a while, more and more web container threads are stuck waiting for their service to respond or eventually will end up timing out. The thread pool is fully in use at this point. And if you take a look at the web layer is much busier than before. There are many connections waiting for the app server to respond. You will also probably see a couple of closed waits from shoppers leaving the site. One more point is in the application server layer, you can see the display map in red. This is the JSP that's making the synchronous call to the external service. We make the call, but we never receive any good response, so things hang up. Let's move to page 18. Okay, so how can we avoid this scenario? When making a call to an external interface, you must ensure the request is asynchronous. This is to prevent commerce from having to wait on the response before continuing. Or you could possibly use a proxy service such as an enterprise service bus, or you could just set a really, really low timeout, like 1 or 2 seconds. The ideal solution here, in this case, is to use AJAX. So instead of having commerce make the call for the map data, you could possibly have the web page the customer downloads make the request to the map service. So you would have some JavaScript in the web page that makes a call to the map data. Since this is being called from the web browser, commerce would not get stuck waiting on the response, and therefore you would avoid any possibilities of an outage if the service is slow or goes down. Let's move to page 19. All right. Just wanted to kind of throw out some of the common external systems that we see most customers use. We have map services like a geolocator. We have inventory management like Sterling or Oracle. External search providers. An example would be like Solr, as it is external to commerce. Then we have externally hosted advertisements, and finally language translators. We can move to page 20. Okay. The one additional piece of information that I would like to share is when integrating Sterling Order Management System with Commerce, you would want to configure Commerce Site to accept orders when Sterling is not available. You can do this by configuring a heartbeat to detect real-time system status. When acceptance are received, it will call a heartbeat monitor to check the status of the Sterling server. The following link I've added to the presentation here has a lot of information on configuring commerce and how to configure the heartbeat monitor to avoid issues when Sterling is down. Okay, let's take a look at page 21, look at the second case. Okay, this is a case study on when you have a slow database. So in this scenario, a page was created which showed a list of the most popular products organized by a manufacturer. This worked functionally, but was really never stress-tested. Once the code was deployed in production, the page loaded slowly, and eventually the site stopped responding. Move to page 22. All right, so what happened in this scenario? This new query had very poor performance. The entire site was stuck waiting on the query to complete. The query selected against a manufacturing named column of the CAT entry table, which did not have an index. In production, this required a table scan every time the query was executed. This would also increase the I/O and CPU on the database server. So most requests which reach WebSphere Commerce will at some point go to your database. Once the database gets overloaded, it doesn't matter how many commerce nodes exist, none of them will be able to access the database. Okay, let's move to page 23. All right, so this is a picture of how the environment and how it is affected when there is a slow database. First, we'll take a look at the database layer. There's an untuned SQL in red that is being executed at this time. This could potentially lead to an increase in CPU and I/O requirement and resulting in an overall poor performing database. Now, as a result, Now, as the request continues to come in at the same rate, the database is not able to serve requests as quickly as it did before. So you will see more connections in the execute state and less in idle. Since the database is not responding quickly, if we take a look at the application layer at this point, you will see many active threads, but the majority of them waiting on the database response. And at this point in the scenario, even the fully cached requests, they're actually still able to process because they're not accessing the database. Okay, let's move to page 24. Now, let's suppose that the untuned query is executed multiple times. The query hasn't finished executing when another request fires the same SQL, which makes things worse. The system can degrade to a point where you experience an outage and will eventually stop serving requests. The database has a pool of connections. As Commerce makes the request to the database, the request will hang waiting for a response. So Commerce then has to open a new connection to the database to make additional requests. So Commerce will have to keep expanding the connection pool until we eventually hit the max number of connections allowed. Now, if you look at the application layer, we will eventually get into a hang condition in this scenario, where all the web container threads are waiting for the database. Since the site is actually hung, there will be no web container threads, and not even the cached pages will be served at this point. And so if you look at the web layer at this scenario, it's much busier than before, and there are many connections, but the majority are in a wait state. And, of course, we'll also see some closed waits because shoppers abandoning the site. Okay, let's move to 25. Okay, how can we avoid this? Okay, poorly optimized queries for a single page can cause performance problems for your entire site. You must assume that a query on a public view will get executed many times, so it's important to ensure that your site can handle the request. The key here is to do load testing, tune it, and then do additional load testing. It's very important to see how the queries respond to real data. Too many times in support, we see issues where queries that were tested in a development environment work fine, but not in a production environment because the data is different. So when creating new queries, always optimize and optimize them against production-like data. Okay, let's move to page 26, please. All right, so this one is a case study on clearing cache during peak time. So here the business people have done their marketing research and have decided that this Friday is the perfect time for a big sell. Over the past 3 weeks, they have been running advertisements for the Midnight Madness sale for this coming Friday. They have projected that there will be more revenue from Friday night alone than is normally made in 2 weeks. Let's move to page 27. Okay, on the other side, we have the technical team for the store, which has scheduled necessary administration tasks, including clearing out the cache. The technical team did the research, and based on their trends over the past several weeks, they determined the low traffic period to be around 1 a.m., so the technical team decided to go ahead and run the administrative task, which includes clearing the cache at 1 a.m. on Friday. Let's move to page 28. So what happened? The cache was cleaned out when traffic was at its peak during the Midnight Madness sale. All this extra traffic against the site with no cache meant that their servers could not render the page as fast as the requests were coming in. The site was extremely slow for about 10 minutes and then eventually crashed. The Midnight Madness sale was a complete bust. Let's move to page 29. Okay, as you can see here in the picture, this is what the site looked like before the cache was cleared. You can see the site is under heavy load with most of the web container threads being used, but the majority of the requests are actually being served by the cache. So none of them there's only one out of this in scenario that's actually going to the database. So let's move on to page 30, and let's take a look after we clear the cache. Okay, so now we can take a look at what happens after the cache is cleared. All the requests that were previously hitting the cache will have to be re-rendered, which means they will have to go back to the database to retrieve the data. So we'll see an increase in requests to the database, which results in the CPU spiking on the database server. All the web container threads are active, but everything is running so slowly that all threads have backed up, and the CPU on the app server will also spike as it's rendering more JSPs. And then we take a look at the web layer. It will also get backlogged as well as it waits for the application to respond. At this point, the site is running so slow that it will not be able to handle incoming requests. New requests will get error pages, and it will appear as the site has gone down. Okay, let's move to page 31. So how can we avoid this problem? Communication, communication, communication. That's the key to this resolving or preventing this problem. Under normal circumstances, the site could handle the traffic without issues. However, the business was not aware that there was an overnight administrative task that would slow down the site response time. Also, the tech team did not know that there would be an increase in traffic at this time. This could easily have been avoided if there was the proper communication channels in place between the business and the technical teams. Okay, let's move on to case number four on page 32. Okay, this is one of the most common scenarios we see in support. This is where there will be a specific page that will display or show all the categories. So here is a new JSP that was written, which displays all the subcategories in a particular parent category. Previously, the store had a simple catalog structure where they had a maximum number of four subcategories per category. Minutes after running the stage propagation, the site crashed. Let's move to page 33. A feature for display all subcategory is deployed. After some time, new categories are created and moved to production with the staging prop. As users start to access the page, the system starts to experience high CPU and out-of-memory errors. Let's move over to page 34. Okay, so what happened? Okay, the new page was designed without pagination, so all subcategories get displayed at the same time. Pagination wasn't really necessary on the old catalog since there were only four subcategories loaded at once. But with the staging propagation, they loaded a new catalog design with hundreds of thousands of subcategories per category. Rendering that much data at once would cause an out-of-memory, thus taking the site down. Let's move to page 35. All right, so here we can see there's an out-of-memory. The database is not busy as the application servers affected are at 100% CPU and not opening any new connections. The application CPU will spike as it struggles to garbage collect or allocate heat for the subcategories being rendered. So no work is actually being done by the commerce application at this time. Only the JVM garbage collection is active. And also you'll see that the web servers are all waiting for the app server response as well. Let's move on to page 36, please. Okay, so how can we avoid this? When designing your JSPs, always make sure that you limit the amount of data being rendered. Using pagination or truncating the results is a good option when there's a lot of data being rendered. It's important to test all the functions that use this new data and that not paginating the results in the JSP was the root cause, but it could have been discovered before reaching production if category display was tested with the new data prior to the propagation. So always test with real data to ensure there are no issues. Okay, let's move to page 37. Okay, this is a case study on monitoring tool and how it can affect the site and cause outages. It's actually surprising how often the Westphere Commerce support team sees this scenario since it can be easily avoided. A new script was implemented to monitor the site. The script will run every 3 minutes. The script basically finds a product and adds it to the cart before completing the checkout. Okay, let's move to page 38. Okay, so what happened? The script would always check out the same registered user. After some time, the user had thousands of orders associated to it. As the order history page does not paginate, the page loaded more and more orders until the system started to create out-of-memories. You would notice that the script was gradually showing decreased response times before actually taking the site down. Okay, let's move over to page 39. Okay, as you can see here, this is very similar to the previous case where we were trying to render too many categories on a single page. The environment will look very similar except for one difference. The system crash will not appear to be load-related. If the monitoring script is running 24/7, for example, then you could potentially see a crash every hour, even at 4 a.m. in the morning when there's less traffic. So let's move to page 40. So how can we avoid this issue? There are two mistakes here. Creating a large shopping cart can happen if you're using the same user and never check out. And then the second issue here is, if we create an order history and continue to place orders with the same user, the order will accumulate and lead to a huge order history page that affects the site. So using pagination on an order history page will prevent the issue, but a better practice is to clean up after the monitoring script executes. So you can simply switch the users or empty the order history every X number of orders. So you could modify the script to clean up afterwards, or just create a new script that runs nightly to clean up the shopping cart and the order history for that user. Typically, we don't see this kind of behavior with normal shoppers. Normal shoppers will not be able to add thousands of items to a cart. But if you implement pagination or setting a cart limit, that will protect us against this type of behavior, whether it comes from a monitoring script or a regular user or shopper. Okay, let's move to page 41. Okay, to summarize, the scenarios presented here are often seen by commerce support. Be proactive about the scenarios, as some might apply to your site. You should always be mindful of synchronous interfaces and how they can affect your site if they become unavailable. Performance tune and validate site and database performance under load. This is the only way to really truly test database functionality and queries. Always test with the real data or the amount of data that is expected to be on the site. Be sure to implement pagination to avoid displaying a large amount of data on a single page. Business and operations should always be on the same page. The technical team should always be involved before planning any type of big promotion or marketing. Then the last is consider impact of your monitoring scripts, as they can cause issues with the environment. Okay, let's move to page 42. And we'll take a look at some learning that must gathers and move to page 43. All right, we did not go in depth in debugging the different types of issues here, like out of memory, hangs, and crashes, but the following links are very good resources to learn more about problem determination. Also, on August 14th, I will be participating in a WSTE on the troubleshooting system outages. This will cover basically troubleshooting for situations impacting production sites. So we'll take a look at how to look at Java cores and heap dumps and whatnot. Okay, let's move to page 44. The following is a link about must-gather data. You should familiarize yourself with these documents. It's important that when opening PMRs that you have this data available, as it will speed up the turnaround process for resolution. Okay, let's move to page 45, please. All right, so here we have some links to some of the typical must-gathers that the support organization requests when there are system outages. So we have a must-gather for out-of-memory, one for a crash, one for performance, hang, or high CPU, and last but not least, performance problems with the database, specifically DB2. Okay, let's move to page 46. And it's just a friendly reminder that we should all be prepared for the holidays in the coming months. As we know, the load actually increases during the holiday season. So let's move to page 47. So during the holidays, Western Commerce sites tend to experience increased loads, which is several times greater than normal. So planning is required to have a smooth and successful holiday season. The tech note below is a good starting point to help prepare for the holiday season and ensure there are no issues. Let's move to page 48. The following are just some additional resources for WestFair products. There's one for learning about upcoming WestFair support technical exchanges. We have the next one is discover the latest trends in WestFair technology and implementation, and allows you to participate in technically focused briefings, webcasts, and podcasts. And then we have a WestSphere community, which is very good and has some good information. And also we have the IBM Education Assistant, which is very good at helping learn about new functions that are added into the products and feature packs. So now I'd like to go ahead and pass this back over to Valerie.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Great presentation, and Andreas will join us for the question and answer session that will come up shortly. That concludes the presentation portion of today's session. And finally, remember to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe. Once you get the mailing list, you can subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. We welcome any ideas you may have. I'm moving on to the question and answer session now.
Hi, so I noticed that you had a number of slides there with yellow, green, and red markers indicating where there's slowdowns. I was curious if you had any recommendations for monitoring tools that you use to graphically show the status of each tier.
Hi, this is Andres. We don't have any recommendations. I mean, IBM has IT Camp that you can use, but other customers are using other tools. In support, basically, we have more basic tools, just getting Java codes and reading text files. Maybe GC, we have tools to analyze the GC and graph it, but nothing that would show you like a dashboard with all the layers. Does that answer your question?
Yep, that's good. Thanks.
Okay, Andreas, there's one question in the chat.
Yeah, so the first question is about a card limit, and there is a card limit that can be configured. Actually, there are limits that can be configured for many different things in commerce. I don't have the link with me, but I can find it and paste it in the chat. And basically, there is an XML file where you can go and set the limit, and if you go above the limit, you will get an error. For reference, the question is, is there a card limit feature configurable in WCS7? I don't know if Michael is on the phone, but I guess I answered that one.
Yes. Now, there's another one. Does Heartbeat feature map with the distributed order management feature of WebSphere Commerce Service 7 cache timeouts inventory setting in INVCNF table?
Okay, let me read that one again. I'm not sure I get it. Maybe I'm not too familiar with that one. The Heartbeat is going to be monitored in OMS, and if it knows it's down, it's just going to save it for later, and it's going to retry after. So you don't lose all the order transfer. That's for order transfer. For inventory, we're going to be using the inventory cache locally. And I guess we won't be going to OMS server when we really need to do an actual inventory call to OMS. I hope that answered the question. Oh, thank you.
Are there any more questions? I don't see any in the on the phone line, and I also do not see any additional questions in the group chat. So before closing this session, and to give you one more second to think of a question, I wanted to introduce this new community. Please join the Industry Solutions Client Success Essentials community. This new community is intended as a one site with all the support links you need. It brings together users of IBM software to share, collaborate, and connect with each other virtually and socially. In this community, you'll find training videos, upcoming events, blogs, important web links, and more. Again, this community provides a single site for you to easily find support information regardless of where it's located, highlighting special programs of interest to you. And I still see no questions in the chat or on the phone line. So at this time, we will conclude the web conference. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, within a few days, a replay of today's presentation will be available on this site. This concludes the presentation. Thank you for joining. You may disconnect now.